You're listening to the Listen Up Show, Startup Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Mitchell Chadrow, your host. Today on show 050, we're interviewing Hamilton Perkins.
You can make anything happen, and it starts with you.
Listen up, trusted friends. It's your business, it's your family, it's your life. Now let's get started. Please sign up to my email list for the latest special offers exclusive for our Listen Up Show Startup Entrepreneur Podcast audience at MitchellChadrow.com/signup. I have been providing business advice, resources, and help to entrepreneurs for over 20 years, and I'm looking forward to helping all of you. Sign up for my email list again at MitchellChadrow.com/signup. I will provide you with full transcript for each interview, my ebook, 30 Tools to Startup, the Startup Checklist, and many other education and training materials, all back at MitchellChadrow.com/signup. Now enjoy the show. Hamilton Perkins is the founder and president of Hamilton Perkins Collection, an e-commerce retailer offering designer travel bags at an affordable price while holding the highest standards of social and environmental performance, accountability, and transparency. What are we going to learn today? How Hamilton came up with his idea, what problem he was solving, and testing the product concept. We are going to talk sales, marketing, and find out how he does it, from manufacturing to distribution. The Hamilton Perkins Collection has been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, The Washington Post, and Money Magazine, and now on the Listen Up Show. Hamilton, it is so great to have you on the show today. How are you?
Thank you so much, Mitchell. I'm really well. It's Saturday. I'm in the showroom today. I'm looking at a bunch of boxes, getting ready to get palletized to send to our factory, and we just got a shipment of new shirts in, and I'm seeing that those are, you know, in the process of being merchandised. So it's, things are happening, so we're good. We appreciate this opportunity as well.
Oh, we're really excited. You know, when I read your bio and I saw some of the things that you were doing, I knew that the audience was going to be in awe with how you've been able to sort of take the company step by step to the next level. You know, prior to starting Hamilton Perkins Collection, you were actually the winner of the 2016 Virginia Velocity Tour Business Pitch Competition. And it was actually hosted by the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So what was that like?
Yeah, so it was such a rewarding experience. We started with a Kickstarter campaign last summer. We had a $10,000 goal. We hit that goal in about a week. So we had a six-month lead time where all of our customers had pre-ordered and they were waiting for the product. I came from finance. I had, you know, kind of just recently got my MBA, and I ended up kind of taking the leap and going full-time shortly after our crowdfunding campaign closed last summer. From there, we ended up having, you know, a lot of time on our hands because we didn't have a product, and we're in the retail industry, and it was taking a long time to make it for the very first time. So, you know, we went out on the business plan competition circuit, and, you know, fortunately we were able to compete at the Virginia Velocity Tour, which was a one-day event. It was a pitch competition for the state of Virginia, so there were companies that came from basically all over the state, investors from all over the state, service providers from all over the state, and we all kind of came together, you know, for like this one day of, you know, showing what's happening around the ecosystem. The entrepreneurial spirit was, you know, alive and well, and there were some remarks from the governor, and from there, the pitch competition happened later that night. So, you know, it was about like 3 minutes of pitch and maybe like another 3 minutes of Q&A, and you know, I can remember there was about maybe 10 seconds left on the clock for us, and you know, I kind of like ended it a little bit early because I felt like I would have a better chance really like reacting to questions, so Q&A was going to be a more strong suit for me. But after that, you know, the judges went back and made a decision, and it was quiet for a second, and, you know, I'm kind of in the crowd, I'm mingling, I'm, you know, networking, and, you know, someone asked the question, is Hamilton Perkins still here? And I'm, you know, I'm like, yes, I'm still here.
That's great.
they called me up on the stage and, you know, they presented me with the award and, you know, there was lots of interviews and, you know, it was a great, experience because from there we were able to get a $25,000 grant. That gave us the runway that we needed to really, like, sustain through the holidays. We finished the year off with a trunk show at Bloomingdale's in New York. We've hosted 3 trunk shows at Bloomingdale's to date. And importantly, we came back to Virginia and shipped out all the pre-orders in time, to hit that 6-month deadline. And then we turned our web store on in early 2017. And that pretty much brings us up almost to where we are today, where we're really just kind of building our production ramp, you know, going from making a couple hundred bags in a year to now making a couple thousand bags, few thousand bags in a year, and, you know, kind of continuing to ramp that to produce tens of thousands of bags in a year. So, you know, we're just thankful that, you know, there's been a great reaction to what we're doing and, you know, for all the help that we've received along the way.
No, that's awesome. Our startup round. For all your hosting needs, head on over to MitchellChadro.com/hosting. MitchellChadro.com/hosting for all your web hosting needs.
Who do you use to host this website?
People want to know, how did you actually then get into the Bloomingdale's store?
Yeah, that was, you know, pretty amazing. The week prior to the Virginia Velocity Tour, I had been in New York and a customer had essentially introduced me to like a good friend from college and, you know, said, hey, you need to talk to my friend. You know, he's got some experience in department stores and, you know, really big box retail is like his thing. He's really well connected. And, you know, we hit it off and, you know, we actually met up a couple times, you know, kind of before then down here in Virginia. And, you know, next thing I knew, I had this meeting with Bloomingdale's and I'm kind of going around and I'm, you know, showing off the product and, you know, I kind of came back to Virginia to focus on the Virginia Velocity Tour and that was the very next week and I won the grant and then I thought about it a little bit on the way, home from the drive home, you know, Virginia Velocity Tour was in Richmond. It's about 1.5 to 2 hours away. So on the drive home back, I'm like, you know, I think everything went well with the meeting that I had with Bloomingdale's. Maybe it's, you know, I think the concern would be, you know, who can sell this product in store? You know, like, how can they dedicate shelf space and resources to it? And I'm like, why don't I just come in and do it? You know, so that was my pitch. I was like, I'll come in on the holidays and I'll sell the product. And, you know, it really turned into a whirlwind. I actually was married, in December as well. So.
Oh, wow. So it really has been a real whirlwind. I mean, you know, you have like this can-do attitude, very positive, very down to earth, very inspirational, not only your own personal story, but to other people out in the audience.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, my wife actually worked the show with me and, you know, this was like literally like the week after our wedding. So, you know, I couldn't do it without her support and, you know, just really being there as a partner for me, kind of in, you know, in life and in business. So it all worked out.
How have you been able to balance it all? Because here you're doing these competitions, you're getting into Bloomingdale's, you're doing a crowdfunding campaign, you're trying to build up a business. Here you're just getting married and sort of balancing it all. How do you do it? And you're a young fella.
Yeah, I think communication is probably the way to go. I mean, you know, one relationship's point of view, but, you know, we try to really hear each other out and, you know, kind of map what we want from a long-term perspective to kind of the short-term perspective. You know, one thing that I've always kind of known in my career and experience is that everything won't always be the way it is today. And this kind of goes back to, you know, my days of working full time at Bank of America and, you know, earning my MBA, every other weekend up at, William and Mary, you know, and just kind of having this, you know, really grueling schedule. And then, you know, kind of cultivating, you know, this idea for, accessories on the side. You know, I knew it wouldn't be that way all the time. And then, you know, from there kind of, it went to working full time and then like nights and weekends, you know, kind of like cultivating this accessories project on the side. You know, and I knew it wouldn't always be that way. And then, you know, finally it's like, okay, well, making a full time leap into really, you know, running the venture full time and not having a full time job other than the actual venture. In the early days of that, very, very challenging and difficult, but again, won't always be that way. And going forward, it, you know, there will be like another challenge, but, that's the way that I think that we've been able to, you know, kind of maintain and like manifest like what we want it to happen. It's kind of just through knowing that, you know, putting in, you put in work and then you get out an outcome.
I hear from you this tremendous work ethic, and you're a young man, and a lot of younger college students who are wanting to start a business or just in the process of sort of starting up or wanting to sort of take it to the next level. Who do you attribute, or how did you get this maturity and this work ethic that I hear coming through loud and clear?
I think it comes from my mother. So I was raised, you know, basically in a single parent household. My mom was my best friend. She ended up passing away when I was 18. I actually moved out of the house at 17, kind of went on to college. I mean, worked my way through with, you know, scholarships and grants. Eventually, stayed in the retail world, stayed in, always been entrepreneurial. I mean, even back in middle school, I was selling locker decoration art. So I would cut up a magazine, take all the posters of the celebrities out, and then I'd sell those to classmates, and classmates would, they dress their lockers up because they were all plain, and, you know, I had a small, you know, kind of little franchise that I was running in middle school. So I think if I look, you know, back to what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, I think I wanted to get a bird's eye view of the economy. I worked really hard in finance, learned a ton, got a chance to, you know, work with really, bright and smart minds at William and Mary in the MBA program. You know, we did two global immersions. We went to, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Madrid, Athens for, global immersions where we worked with business owners and consulting. And, you know, I think combining all the just different experiences have, you know, basically shaped my outlook. But I mean, definitely those are the three kind of pillars, I think, for how I get to, you know, kind of come to work every day and, you know, have the results that we get. I think it starts, like you said, I mean, it's having that work ethic. I think patience is also something, that has been really, really helpful for me and keeping me kind of grounded. And then just like generally just being grateful and just having the gratitude of just knowing that, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Like, you know, things could be a lot worse. There's lots of challenges that, you know, I could potentially be facing just with the blink of an eye. Like I don't have to be so fortunate to have like access to the internet. So I think those three things pretty much keep me grounded.
You really have an awesome, awesome head on your shoulders. Have you always been this resourceful, this creative, determined?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I had an eBay store really early on. I mean, it was a sizable store. I was selling sneakers and really what they call quick strikes or limited edition shoes. I mean, I was doing this really like in the early days. I mean, now it's become like mainstream, and a lot of streetwear culture has really almost become pop. I mean, it is pop culture now, with like the key like press outlets for it actually being publicly traded on Hong Kong Stock Exchange, and just seeing so many celebrities like really showing it love. But I think, you know, back then it was just like consumer insight. You know, when you stand on your feet 12 hours a day working in retail, you get to talk to a lot of people and you learn, you see the patterns. And I think that's what I got good at, is kind of pattern recognition. You know, why do certain releases in a store create a line? Why do certain things stay on the shelf and nothing, you know, is nothing that the brand can seem to do about actually selling it? So combining that with, you know, the direction of the internet and the direction of communication, you know, see, back in the days it was like everybody wanted to have the same logo because that meant they were cool or they were in the club. And today it's like, well, with social media, you have far more friends. There's much more attention, look like coming your way. So, what you purchase or what you buy says something about you. And that's what kind of Hamilton Perkins Collection is all about, is, we want to advance the idea of, the sustainable basic. So, you know, bags made from recycled plastic, that was already a big problem. You know, there's, I think that I just saw a stat about, close to 9 billion tons of plastic, have been created by humans, and, you know, that's you know, several times the size of the weight of the Empire State Building. And then
we're gonna definitely get into the materials that actually go into your product, which I think is absolutely fascinating. But you know, we actually did an entire podcast show not only on crowdfunding but crowdsourcing. And I see here that you're doing a campaign, and so why Kickstarter?
Yeah, so we chose Kickstarter to do our crowdfunding campaign because it had built-in virality. And as a startup, you know, there's nothing better than finding an audience for your product. You know, it's not really about, like, getting this one press feature or getting this one influencer to mention you anymore. It's almost like if you can just find a group of, like, really enthusiastic backers or early adopters, you can actually succeed. So we knew Kickstarter was the world's largest platform for that. We knew that we were on our end, we were creating our own community, and we would be rewarded by Kickstarter by bringing them a community that was already engaged. Kickstarter is really great for helping fund an idea, fund a creative project, and especially if you already have leads or you already have a community. And that's what we did. I mean, I started on my cell phone. I text messaged everyone that had ever text messaged me. I found all my emails from Gmail and extracted those and emailed everyone that had ever emailed me, and I developed my first customer list out of that. It was a simple pitch. I said, "Hi, I'm working on a project. Would mean the world to me if I could just add you to the notification list when we launch." And from there, I ran, you know, a simple email sequence that really introduces the product and introduces why this product and how the product can be purchased and, you know, what crowdfunding is all about. So I ran.
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen up, trusted friends out there in the Listen Up Show audience, because there's a lot of value bombs in what Hamilton just said. And Hamilton, you might just want to take them in a little bit in terms of how you and your company actually reached out to me, which I thought was over the top creative. It certainly got my attention, and you're here on this podcast being interviewed by me. And so I think that would be very instructive and very helpful to people out there in terms of how they can sort of, you know, get into to interviews like this and sort of, you know, leverage their own products and services and solutions with others.
Yeah, you know, it all goes back to, like, hand-to-hand combat, you know, one-on-one. Relationships are still alive, you know, it's like 2017, but 1917, you know, like my grandmother was born in 1919, and she tells me a lot about how things were back in, you know, the 30s, the 40s, and, you know, just when she was a kid. And I think that a lot of that is still true. You know, it's fancy because of the technology, but the idea of personal touch is still there. So, you know, I work closely with Daniel on our team. He's a remote employee right now. He's actually coming to Virginia from California next week. He's a student at UC Berkeley still.
And Daniel was actually in your marketing department. He was actually the person that I actually got the email from.
Exactly. And, you know, Daniel is really a personal guy. I mean, really bright, you know, young man. I mean, we're fortunate to have him on our team. And, you know, we felt like it would be good if we just reach out directly. You know, I think to your point, you know, you can automate and you create bots, or you can, you know, kind of, I mean, there's lots of growth hacks, right? Like, everybody's looking for the growth hack. They want to hack the email culture. They want to hack the social media culture. But, you know, I think if you just sit down and, you know, you communicate and, you know, you take time to really build a relationship, you know, it goes a long way. And, you know, it's never really steered us wrong to this point. So, you know, we're big believers of it.
Yeah, you know, we've begun to talk about this. We've touched on it, but I want to really kind of delve a lot deeper into my next set of questions. And again, we refer to this as our startup round. And so really, we want to really know about the bag making process and your successful experience in creating an environmentally sustainable product and supply chain.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Hamilton Perkins Collection, we make uniquely designed, eco-friendly travel bags. They're handcrafted by Haitian artisans. They're made from recycled plastic and upcycled billboards. These bags are typically, you know, we go for a trendy, sophisticated direction, but, you know, we try to offer these bold pops of color inside of the bags, making it a one-of-a-kind art design. And, you know, the process really kind of starts in the developing world, starts in Haiti. You know, when we got started, we wanted to make a bag that we could be proud of. And that was hard to find in department stores. It was hard to find online at the time. And we figured that we weren't going to be experts in retail or experts in recycling overnight. So we ended up partnering with experts. And we partnered with organizations that were doing already doing the work. So we partnered with an organization called Thread International. You know, they have been working in Haiti for several years already. And what they've been able to help enable us to do is, you know, we can assist with basically individuals on the ground in Haiti. They collect bottles. So this is just to paint the picture. This is the first mile of the supply chain where I just got back from Haiti last month where, you know, I was able to kind of walk the first mile of the supply chain. It starts at a landfill. So individuals collect bottles. They bring the bottles to collection centers. Collection center owners will take those bottles, pay cash on the spot to individual collectors, so they take the plastic to recycling centers that are also Haitian-owned and operated. And from there, it's all turned into a plastic flake. The plastic is then also, you know, exported to the States. From here, that's where we can melt it, extrude it, turn it into a fiber in the States, and then the fiber is either blended or it's 100% polyester. And that woven final fabric is what a design brand like ours can take, and then we will apply our own personal touch with the upcycled billboard. So I and my team will go out and we'll source a client billboard. So you can picture a freeway billboard, or you can picture a, you know, a vinyl from a poster or a festival. We will take those vinyls, and then we use that as a lining and a accent color for our bags. And, you know, basically what you get is this bag that's made from recycled plastic and upcycled billboards. And, you know, it's just been kind of a really interesting, like, evolution. So right now in our showroom, you know, we've got about 2,000 pounds of vinyl sitting here, and they're getting ready to get shipped down to Haiti so that we can cut and sew the bags. We'll be ready for holidays, and, you know, we sell direct to customers on our website.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I got that email from Daniel and I started looking into how you actually – manufacture the product, and I showed, because it was July 4th weekend, and I was sitting around the pool and, you know, being at a barbecue, and I not only showed my older daughter who's 17 and my mother, you know, this particular product, and I told them how it was actually made. They not only thought that the product was aesthetically pleasing, and they liked the versatility of all the pockets and how it was designed and the space of it, but they were just totally amazed at what actually was actually making the product itself. So I really thought it was really neat.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. And, you know, that's been really the value proposition. I mean, the bag is a cool, unique bag. No two bags are ever the same. You do get that element of surprise. And, you know, it's a very engaging process to kind of use our bags or carry our bags. It's a great conversation piece and looks good. And, you know, at the end of the day, it provides dignified income opportunities. And, you know, that was what we really wanted to do, was we wanted to empower travelers while supporting, you know, these income opportunities.
You know, we talk about made in the USA, and one of the things that I really liked about your product was not only are you working outside the US, as you mentioned, you just recently went to Haiti and they're helping you with the process, but you also do some of the manufacturing right here in the United States. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we also expanded into apparel. So now we have shirts that are still made from the same are made from jersey knit, which is, you know, a really soft, fiber shirt. So, you know, our shirts are, you know, like I say, they're 50% plastic. They're 50% cotton, but they're 100% comfortable. The shirts are made in the U.S., and we've been really working in, just like smaller groups, smaller factories to get things done. And, you know, eventually what we do want to do is eventually grab, more suppliers from Haiti, because, you know, we know that they're one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere, right? And
sure.
With my background in kind of just finance and just being in, retail, it's always been like the places where there's a bigger problem, the biggest problems, that's where I found the biggest upside. So, you know, and having a focus like that kind of really creates sort of momentum. And, you know, there's so much momentum just from going down on the ground. I mean, we were there for about 4 days. You know, we were able to go to about – I think we went to about a dozen different artisan and factories from fashion sector, artisanal sector, and in the agriculture sector. And I mean, it's just amazing, like some of the collaborations that we're working on now, just coming from that trip. And you know, we know that at the end of the day, we'll still be able to create jobs here in the U.S. because we're still headquartered here, and we'll still run our sales, our marketing, and eventually we'd love to have our own sample making kind of operation. So that all of those things kind of combine to make the whole ship steer correctly.
You know, when you're a startup and you have a new product and or solution, it is so important to test the idea so that you're not spinning your wheels, spending a lot of money on something that may or may not necessarily sell in the market. So talk to us a little bit about how you were actually able to test these various ideas for the product.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest way that we were able to do that was offline. We started with our own, offline crowdfunding campaign. So before we ever got to Kickstarter, we actually tested in the market with, real customers and, real people that we asked to, take a look at what we were doing. We showed them sketches. We showed them samples. And we asked them to pay us. If they wanted to, be patient, we could get the bag to them on a pre-order basis. It would still take us, about 6 months to do. So if we could get past that, then we thought it made sense to go online. So, 30 days crowdfunding, we came up with about $30,000 in crowdfunding revenues, and that was with a pre-order basis, and that was really allowing us to test the market and know that when we have the inventory, when we have the distribution, that is a scalable idea. That is an operation that is viable. So finding, kind of inexpensive ways to test your idea is key. I mean, we were able to tap, a local grant for kind of funding our very first, offline crowdfunding adventure, I guess you will call it. And, that also trickled into our online crowdfunding venture. So, finding a minimum lovable product, I think you hear minimum viable product a lot, but a lot of the designers I work with, they throw around the minimum lovable product. And
I like it. Very creative.
And you get that going, and from there that's where you can always go back and refine, and you can make things how you really want them to be.
Hamilton, in this next round, we call it our fast pitch. It's a lot of fun. It's very fast with quick questions, straight answers, and it allows the audience to know a little bit more about you, not just the business person, but someone in family and life. Can you tell us a person that you look up to the most that is a success to you?
Yeah, I think, it probably would be my mother, just knowing how she, her background, and, she also was a banker, and, she had lots of creative projects on the side, and just knowing how hard she worked just to give me an opportunity. She worked to, kind of put me through, schools, and, she never missed any of my sporting events. She always made me, know that, I was good enough. I could do anything. And, she really sowed a lot of, confidence in me that I feel like, that's something that I still look up to today, because as I look around, I notice that lots of, society and the way things are set up, it doesn't necessarily reinforce that. It's pretty much comes across as the opposite. You know, it's, you need more education, you need more training, you need more help. You know, you don't have enough skill to get, you know, the things that you want to accomplish. So I think that, you know, that really being, you know, kind of embedded in, like, how I was raised early on, it just makes me grateful today.
Well, you know, what was Mom's first name?
Marcia.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, today being our show 050, our show 50, I usually don't interject my own personal success hero. It was really my dad, and I actually lost my dad when I was 27. And so the fact that you were 17, 18, you know, my heart kind of goes out to you, but you're really doing a wonderful legacy for your mom. And I know that the audience sort of sees a whole different dimension of you in addition to just you being the business guy. So, and you mentioned your grandmother as well. What was her first name?
So my grandmother, her name is Elizabeth, and sorry for your loss as well. And thank you for the kind words. My grandmother is still alive and kicking. She is, you know, easily the most stylish person that I know. You know, more hats than I've ever seen. You know, bags, hat, outfits, you know, just kind of, you know, really, really just like a, you know, just one of the greatest people I know.
Well, I'll tell you this, and again, the only reason why I'm doing this is because I'm thankful to my audience as well, and especially, you know, being that it's my 50th show, and this was not set up ahead of time. My other hero was grandmother's, whose both names happened to be Elizabeth, but they never actually went by Elizabeth. So my nanny was Bessie and my bubby was Libby. And so I have two Elizabeths also that I look up to. And the fact that your grandmother is also Elizabeth is quite coincidental on this show 50. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to kind of jump in and mention that as well. And I appreciate that too, Hamilton.
And funny enough, she rarely went by Elizabeth. So she would all, like, you know, with her brothers and sisters, she would go by Tish. So funny.
How do you like that? You know, it kind of gives me goosebumps because, you know, the Listen Up Show, the Startup Entrepreneur Podcast, is not just about business, trusted friends out there. It's about business, family, and life. And if you only focus on one and to neglect the other two or to neglect the other one, then are you really living a balanced existence? So anyway, that's why that's the focus. Fast pitch, MitchellChadro.com/books. For books, audiobooks, guest recommendations, and the books that I read to start up each day. Sponsors are Fast Pitch, my book club recommendations, back at MitchellChadro.com/books. To see more of my recommendations and recommendations of our guests, just go to MitchellChadro.com/books. It's your number one resource for book reviews and recommendations. Can you recommend a book, something that inspires, something that motivates, something that you always go back to and that you've enjoyed?
Yeah, you know, I think from a book perspective, I just recently read Shoe Dog. That's Phil Knight's book. And that's, you know, very industry, I guess, specific. But, you know, as far as a book that I always go back to that has everything that I ever need is the Bible. I don't know. I mean,
That's terrific. You know, everything that we talk about, all of the different links and the different things that we're discussing is going to be found back at the show notes, which can easily be obtained by going to MitchellChadro.com/show050. And you'll be able to get all of these links to all the books. And yes, I'll definitely have a link back to the Bible. That's great. That tells us a lot about you, Hamilton. And we really appreciate that as well.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, absolutely.
What contributes most to your success?
I think it's gratitude. You know, I just know that, you know, I'm really fortunate. You know, I'm really lucky to be able to work hard. You know, that's half of it. You know, the other half is, you know, working. But, you know, having the internet, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for it. You know, I could easily be somewhere where I wouldn't have access to the internet, or I could have been born in a different time without the technology or without having, the rights that I have. Like, I mean, there's just so many different, you know, reasons to be thankful and to be grateful. So, that's the number one thing. And then I always follow it up, I think, patience, you know, just knowing that this doesn't have to happen overnight, you know, nothing is built overnight. It may appear that way, but it doesn't have to happen that way. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, work ethic, you know, hard work will pay off.
How about an app, whether it be a productivity or in business and finance, but just an app that you use like all the time and you've come to really rely on as a really good tool and resource?
I think I'm really in love with Slack. I love the communication. I love being able to search, you know, easily for files and it not get buried in my emails. So I'm loving the Slack app.
Great. Best business advice that you've ever received?
Best business advice I ever received was, you know, to care, you know, care for the customer, you know, have one-on-one, relationship, you know, if you're a small company, you know, you don't want to look like a small company, but once you become a big company, you still want to think like a small company. So, I think that the best advice has just been to know that, you know, time is really the key that, we have. You know, we're not in a Wall Street environment, where we have, you know, quarterly earnings to report and, you know, we don't have, you know, kind of those sorts of pressures. So, it's on us to really play to our strengths, as a startup. And, you know, I think that's a good advice that, you know, I've gotten is just, you know, always kind of double down on things that you can do well.
In this next round, we call it our wrap up round. So how are people going to stay in touch with Hamilton Perkins?
Yeah, so you can check us out. We're at hamiltonperkins.com. And Mitchell, I've provided a discount code for your audience. It's Listen Up. So if you answer Listen Up at checkout, you'll get $10 off your first order. And let us know if you have any questions or if you have any concerns. We'd love to hear from you.
That's a great, you know, I'm usually not taken off guard like that. That's a very nice gesture on your part. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people not only checking out the website, but certainly using that code as well because, you know, the bags are really, really nice. Like I said, I already got great compliments from two ladies already in my life, my older daughter and my mother. So that's terrific, Hamilton. Thank you so much. And can you leave us with three main takeaways?
Yeah, I think, you know, recruiting your talent, you know, invest in your people, you know, whoever's on your team, you know, make sure that you're playing to their strengths, you know, build for their success. You know, I think in our case, you know, I think growth is always something that's my job in the company is to really focus on, you know, continuing to expand our awareness and to get more people to know what we do because without that, there will be no, you know, there will be no supporting of dignified income opportunities. There will be no, you know, recycling tens of thousands of plastic bottles in the first half of the year. Like, we won't be able to do any of those things. And then, you know, I think finally just always look to optimize. You know, I think you can always go back and, you know, you can look at profit margins and you can do all the technical things. But, I think speed is, now that's a takeaway is getting your product or service heard or seen or used, getting it into the marketplace.
What's next?
Well, for us right now, we're looking at like I said, I've got all these parts that are sitting in the showroom. I've got half of my parts in the factory, half of them here in the showroom. So the next thing is producing making the products. Being prepared for holiday of this year, you know, December or Black Friday going into December, and then you know next year kind of doing it again, but you know really going up a steep ramp. You know, we really want to increase our production. We found that when we just produce the product that we make, you know, things go really well for us. The demand, you know, certainly, because everything is limited edition, you know, it kind of outstrips the supply. So, that's the next thing for us. You know, we just, got in new shirts. So, you know, we also have shirts on the website if you, check those out. And, you know, we're here to help. So if we can be of a resource or if we can be of any assistance.
Our wrap up round, MitchellChadrow.com/ photos for all your graphic design needs.
You can find us at hamiltonperkins.com.
In parting, leave us with your philosophy in business, family, and life.
I think my philosophy has just been, just know that you're not coming back, that's really how I live. You can't come back to that day. You can't come back to that week. You just make the best decision that you can, for the time that you have. And, I think just trusting yourself, trust that you have everything that you need. You know, the vision that you have for your family or for your business, lead with that. Know that, you can make anything happen, and it starts with you.
Hamilton Perkins, this has been awesome. I've been literally smiling the entire interview, if you could actually see me. You know, not only are you a terrific inspiration and motivation for other young entrepreneurs out there, not only do you have a really terrific head on your shoulders, but I know that we're going to be saying some really, really big things, and we're just looking forward to hearing the next chapter in the story, and so we're certainly going to keep in touch with you, and we just want to thank you very much again.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity, Mitchell, and, we appreciate you for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Absolutely. You take care now. Be good.
Thank you. Take care.
In closing, let me ask for my listeners' help. First, please subscribe to my email list at mitchellchadro.com/signup. You will get all the full interview transcripts, my ebook, 30 Tools to Start Up, where I talk about these free resources in show 006. You'll get the startup checklist, education and training materials, and other resources just by signing up at mitchellchadro.com/signup.
Listen up, trusted friends. It's your business. It's your family. It's your life. Go out and live it.
Back at mitchellchadro.com/signup, help me boost the rankings of the Listen Up Show, the Startup Entrepreneur Podcast, by providing a well-written review in iTunes. mitchellchadro.com/iTunes. It helps other people find the show. If you actually need instructions on how to do this, you can find that back at mitchellchadro.com/signup. Thank you so much for subscribing to my email list and providing a written review on iTunes. Until next time.